Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a child's game, I think, that we've all played. It's called Go Fish. Anybody played that game before? Okay, I see a host of hands. Kind of a fun game. It's because of its simplicity. Since you've all played it, I really don't need to go into all the details, but you know that the idea is that you start out with a group of people, all with five cards or so in their hands, and the first player begins by asking one of the players if they have a certain card in the deck. And if they have that card, they have to give it up. If they don't, what do they say?
Go fish.
And so, begrudgingly, the person takes a card off of the deck in the middle. If he is lucky enough to get the card that he had just asked for, he gets to continue to ask for more cards, which is a good thing. It's a fun game. And being able to hold your cards tightly is important for each player. You don't want to hear those words, go fish. No one wants to have their cards denied, forcing them to take a card from the pack. Well, as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers casting a net into the water. They were fishermen, named Simon and Andrew. They were really good at pulling out fish out of the deep waters of this enormous lake. And on most days, they said to the sea, "Give me your fish." And the sea poured out its treasure. But one day, Jesus surprised them, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Not for fish, but for people. Did you get it? I'm not sure why, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would speculate as to why this happened, but they didn't hesitate. They dropped their nets and they followed Jesus, which tells me there was probably some history that they had together with the Lord. His words challenged them to enter territory that was completely unfamiliar and unexpected. And we have to give him credit. They immediately dropped their nets and they followed him. Walking a little bit further down the road, Jesus saw James and John, sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat, mending their nets. And Jesus calls them. And they left their father and the hired hands and went to follow Jesus. I'm sure Zebedee wasn't too thrilled about this, nor were those that were helping. You lose the hands and you spend a lot more time mending or even fishing if they were gone. Now, if Jesus were a complete stranger, the suggestion to go and fish for people might have been met by some pretty strange looks and possibly even some rude responses. And maybe even we, as we're thinking about what would it be like to be sitting in the boat with these characters, if our hair wouldn't kind of bristle up at that request. And we might even be saying under our breath, "Fishing for people is not my gift. Let some other crazy person handle that one." Imagine yourself a fisherman working your net along the shore, and a stranger walks up to you and says, "Follow me. I'm going to make you fish for people." Yeah, startled, shocked, you know. After all, the fishing business is pretty good. It puts food on the table. It offers them a way of making a living by selling it at the marketplace. I'll bet there are more than just a few of us who would have been uncomfortable, to say the least, with such a request. So before you go fishing for your car keys, let's take a look at what the disciples knew and made them drop their nets to fish for people. Instead of giving Jesus the abrupt shake of the head, "No thanks, I'll stick with fishing for fish," Simon and his brother Andrew saw Almighty God at work in these words. calling them to look beyond what might have been seen as an absurd request. Moving back to the original metaphor, they looked at the pack of unknown cards on the table and saw the possibility of a new world. A world not defined by the price of the day's catch of fish, but by the value of the kingdom of God. Simon and Andrew immediately stopped, dropped their nets, and followed Jesus. These were journeymen fishermen. They were professionals. But now fishing for people with Jesus, they were starting all over. They needed to enter into a new education to figure this all out. The old techniques just weren't going to work. But I'm sure they quickly learned that when they followed Jesus, they were making a difference in the kingdom of God, and that some of the people around them actually were anxious to hear about the good news of God. Still, the future was uncertain for the first disciples of Jesus, as it is for us. They didn't know if their fishing for people would be a success or a failure. And we don't know what will result from our actions as individuals or as a church in their community. When we welcome newcomers to the neighborhood, we don't know if they're going to become our friends or not. When we start, for example, a new church program to tutor elementary kids, as Matthew got started, we don't know if it's going to increase the kingdom of God. When we give out food baskets at Thanksgiving or give gifts to foster kids at Christmas time, there's a strong possibility they'll never enter the front doors of our church. When people come to visit or we tell them about Blessed Savior, there's no guarantee that they're going to stick around and collect one of the lovely mugs that we love to give people. Having said that, and this is probably a story I've told before, it's just so fresh in my mind all the time, and as most of you know, starting in 2013, I went through some chemo treatments. My second round, I spent 3 5-day sessions at Memorial Hospital Resort. And but yeah, God gave me some just really incredible opportunities to witness to the nurses that came in. I mean, they were stuck with me, and, you know, four poor people. But what a blessing to be able to pray with one of the phlebotomists who had lost her sister and her father within a few months. I mean, it was just an amazing time for me. I gave away some really cool get well balloons that had been given to me to a child down the hall that was really in bad shape, and I wasn't able to see her because she was in isolation. But they told me that she really appreciated, her parents really appreciated those gifts. And there was one nurse in particular that I'd kind of grown close to. She was there the first stay, the second stay. And one day, my third, fifth day stay, she came in so excited. And she said, "I just want to tell you that because of your talks, I've gone back to church." And I kind of looked at her with that dumb look on my face, and I was thinking, I hadn't seen her at Blessed Savior. She continued, "I'm going to this really neat church over in Swansea, and I love it." My heart sank for a moment. But then she continued to tell me how she had just invested her life into this church, getting involved in all the activities and how blessed she was by it. I was growing in my thankfulness that God had helped her to find a place where she could hear the word of God and grow as a Christian and become a part of the family of God that's been challenged, especially with the lesson today, to be fishers of people. As followers of Jesus, we know the bottom line is that the future's in God's hands. It's not in ours. The challenge for us, as it was for the disciples, is to trust that God is working for the good in our lives now and in the days to come. And we should respond positively and immediately when Jesus tells us, go fish. What a funny command to give. In the card game, you don't know what you're going to get when you draw from the pack of cards on the table. In real life fishing, the same is true. You have no idea what the nets are going to pull up. You dip into this great unknown and pull up all kinds of surprises. And we know that fishing takes skill, it takes patience, it takes a certain amount of faith. You're challenged to believe that your efforts will be rewarded and that all your working and waiting is going to yield precious fruits. I think Jesus was choosing his words carefully when he said, I will make you fish for people. Instead of casting nets into the Sea of Galilee, he invited his disciples to cast their nets of God's love widely and catch a wide variety and range of people, men, women, and children. The disciples and the church caught hold of Jesus' vision of drawing together this community of people from every part of the world. Have you ever noticed in a lot of other religions that they're really strong and big right where they began, where they originated, but you get outside that territory and there's not much there? Christianity was actually kicked out of its place of origin and scattered throughout the world. That was all by God's design. And the Holy Spirit continues to lead the church to new fishing holes, some that have never been fished in before, others maybe that have been abandoned and need to be revisited. So the message really today is quite simple. Jesus called Simon and Simon Peter and Andrew and then the brothers James and John, all fishermen, challenged them to drop their nets and follow him. And immediately they left their fishing of fish in order to fish for people. Now it's obvious from the Gospels that none of them really understood the nature of their work. But they trusted and they followed Jesus. They trusted that he would teach them the art of fishing for people and that it would have a great impact on the world. Now, as you're ruminating these ideas in your mind right now, maybe you don't think your efforts would ever amount to much because, well, I've not got seminary training. I didn't go to Concordia University, one of the many. Or maybe I just don't know the Bible well enough. I'm sure the disciples felt the same way. And in the Bible, we see these moments of incredible victory. And then we also see their imminent failures. But the key was, in all of it, Jesus was there working beside them, bringing all things together for the good of those that loved him. When Jesus gave the great commission to make disciples of all nations through baptizing and teaching, he left them this final word. He said, and lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That was a promise not just to the disciples of Jesus' day, but to the disciples of all time. What's important for us to know is that we can immediately follow Jesus in order to fish for people. And our success doesn't depend upon our own strategies or skill, but on the Holy Spirit of Jesus that lives within each one of us. And I believe God is calling all of us today to fish on behalf of Christ and his kingdom. And you don't have to become a pastor or a parochial school teacher, a DCE or a deaconess. Many who have been caught in the dragnet of God's grace did not leave their vocations to be professional church workers. I think almost everybody that knows us, our family real well, knows that Travis was living in St. Louis with his brother, and he moved out. They'd been broken into, and a lot of his guitar equipment had been stolen, and so he's been staying with us for a while just to kind of collect himself and figure out where he's going to be going. And it's really been a joy to me. Now, he knows every good guitar player in the world. He knows them all. I mean, not personally, but, you know. So sometimes when I'm sitting half asleep in my recliner, he'll say, "Dad, you got to see this guy play," you know, and so he'll put somebody on. And these guys are just guys and gals are just phenomenal players. And everyone, you know, you'll click through some of the YouTubes, and they're playing anybody and everybody that's popular. But then all of a sudden, within their repertoire, you'll see Amazing Grace being played in just an incredible style that you've never heard before. They pull out some gospel hymn that you're going, "Oh yeah, that's what a great song." And they didn't abandon their vocation to become a pastor or a teacher or a DCE or a deaconess. They simply made their vocation an opportunity to share the gospel with other people. Such a kind of, I don't want to say underhanded, but just a real subtle way of reaching people. And then if you look down after the YouTube and see what people had written, you're so blessed by the comments that they make. "Thank you, brother." And, you know, "The Christian brother who wrote the song would be so happy now if he was gone to be with the Lord." It was so amazing. There's one more thing fishing with Jesus does for us. It opens our eyes to see the great diversity of God's kingdom, of which we're a part. A revelation was given to St. John in the 7th chapter. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses that really impacted me when I think about the variety of folks that will be there worshiping God in heaven. It says, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" What a powerful passage that tells us how beautifully God brings together people from all parts of the world into one family. This is a vision that was realized in the early church as the gospel spread from region to region and then country to country. Everywhere the gospel nets were dropped, the revelation became a reality. There was another nurse that kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about this. She had the night shift, so she had some time to just sit and talk. And sometimes you're so off in terms of your time schedule, you don't know whether it's day or morning or whatever. And so, you know, she'd come in at maybe 12, 2 o'clock in the morning, and how you doing and all this kind of stuff. She was a little Ethiopian woman. Her husband and her had come over from Ethiopia, and he was a doctor and she was a nurse. And she was the most kind, gentle person that I'd ever talked to. And this was not a fishing expedition. This was just sharing with another Christian. And what a beautiful thing it was to know that someone had been touched by the gospel so many thousands of miles away. And actually, we were the ones that were further away from the origin of Christianity. She was a lot closer. But God brought us together in that moment, and it was a precious moment that I'll never forget. You know, one of the things I hated about fishing when I was a kid was spending hours casting a line out and then pulling out of the lake everything but fish. Have you done that? You get an old shoe, a tennis shoe, an inner tube, a tire, a big mass of moss. I mean, I got everything. I've told you the one story that really stopped me from fishing, and that was when this game warden would take me and this girl that lived right behind our house, and he would always pick us up 6 o'clock in the morning and go out to Lake Murray in San Diego, and And he was so good at fishing, he could split that line, and we'd have two hooks, one with treble with cheese on it, Velveeta cheese, and the other line with salmon eggs on it. We'd cast out there. So we had two chances to get a fish. And one time I felt that tug, and I thought, oh, finally. I mean, I'd caught nothing all day. I'm reeling that thing in. I'm as happy as can be. I pull it in, and I have hooked this girl's line, that my neighbor. She had one fish on each of her hooks. I said, that's it. But you know what? Every once in a while, God lets you see the one you thought got away. Like that first nurse that I was explaining to you. And thank God for the revelation that he's at work in all of us, wherever we park ourselves or wherever God places us. We need to keep our eyes open for those opportunities and not be afraid to share the gospel. They may not always be received in that moment, but I tell you that there have been times that people have said certain things that maybe weren't accepted at face, but given time and the Holy Spirit, their lives were changed. And it's only years after sometimes you find out that a real short, simple word has changed someone's life, has drawn them closer to the Lord. You know, and one day, we will all see the great multitude of fish we caught for the kingdom because Christ is with us. And it will be a great day of rejoicing and praising God in front of his glorious throne. So you want to go fishing? Go fish. In Jesus' name, amen.